Bibles now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. If you want to use the church Bible today, you should find one under the pew in front of you. It's the New King James, same version that I'll be using this morning. You can find our passage in that Bible on page 729. Right now, we're currently in between a sermon series in our morning services. Recently finished a series through what's often known as the Farewell Discourse, John 13 to 17. And as I've said before, next month we'll be starting a new series on the book of Habakkuk. And so today, in this middle period, we're going to be looking at a verse on its own. It's a verse that I've wanted to study and preach for quite some time. It's a simple verse, one that you can easily memorize. In fact, you may have it memorized by the end of the sermon. But also a hugely important verse, as I trust you'll see this morning. It is a verse that impacts every single aspect of your life. And that's Proverbs 4, verse 23. In the bulletin, you will find an outline. If you'd like to use that today, I hope it's helpful to you. You will find that it's double-sided. Well, let's give our attention. I'm just going to read this one verse for us here today, Proverbs 4, verse 23. And let's give our attention. This is God's perfect word. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let's pray again. Lord, this is your word. Please teach us today. You've given us your word so that we can know the truth. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd help us to understand the truth of this verse. Please convict us where we need it. Please teach us and train us. Lord, may we be far better off and closer to you as a result of our study of this verse today. So now we pray, God, our teacher, minister your word to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the human body, of course, we know that the heart is a vital organ. This is why it's so important to have a healthy heart. To exercise regularly, to eat healthy foods, to have your heart checked regularly by a doctor. These are good things to do because if you don't have a healthy heart, your body is likely to suffer. Other parts of your body are likely to suffer. In fact, your life can suffer. And we understand this, do we not? Given its vitalness, the heart is an organ that we have to take care of. An organ that needs to be kept so that it functions properly. Well, in the Bible, the heart is spoken of repeatedly. We often miss this because we're so used to it, I think, but the heart is mentioned 858 times just in the Old Testament. Here in the book of Proverbs, the heart is mentioned 46 times, and of course it's mentioned here in verse 23 that we'll be considering this morning. But it's not speaking of the blood-pumping muscle in our chest. It's speaking of your innermost self as a human being. As we'll see this morning, in the Bible, the heart refers to the place from which come your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. It is, one author says, the most important anthropological term in the Old Testament. Because what's in your life flows from your heart. That's what we'll see today. What's in your life flows from your heart. And so, like the physical organ, we need to keep our heart. We need our heart to be healthy, which is what Proverbs 4:23 is all about, where it says, keep your heart. If you're to live as a disciple of Christ, if you're to live in obedience to God, Scripture says this is what you've got to do. Or to put it differently, if you're not to be conformed to the ways of the world and led astray from God, this is what you've got to do. So if you're looking at the outline, you'll see as our main point today that we all need to diligently keep our hearts so that we follow Christ and His Word. Diligently keep your heart so that you follow Christ and His Word. Well, again, if you're looking at the outline, I want us to consider this verse under three headings this morning. The first one being this: your heart is the source of everything in your life. According to our text, if you look at verse 23, out of the heart spring the issues of life. Some of your Bibles may say, out of the heart flow the springs of life. But this is what the heart is, biblically speaking. It's the spring or the source of everything in your life. Literally, in the original, the text says, from it are the outgoings of life. Those of you who live in the country, instead of getting your water from the city's supply, you likely have a well on your property or close by. So whether you're washing your dishes or getting a cold glass to drink or taking a shower, that's where your water is coming from. Right? It is springing forth, if you will, into your home from that well. The well is the source of the water. Well, in the same way, Proverbs says the heart is the source of everything in your life. Let me just give you some examples. For one, the heart is the source of your words. The source of your words. Matthew 12:31. You'll see this in the other cross references on the back of your outline. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, that's true. No matter what you say, whether it's kind, mean, significant, or minor, every word comes from the heart. And by implication, then, every thought that formulates those words also comes from the heart. Right? The beliefs that you have, the desires that you have, everything that contributes to the words you speak start in the heart. The heart is also the source of your plans. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Whether it's a big plan, moving to a new city, starting a new relationship, whether it's a small plan, such as what am I going to have for lunch today, or when am I going to do my homework, it always comes back to the heart. And the desires that create and drive those plans come back to the heart. The decisions you make in preparing and executing those plans come back to the heart. And the aims that you hope to accomplish with those plans come back to the heart. And this is true even for all of your sins. They too have their source in the heart. Now, Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. So it's not just the words that we say, it's not just the plans that we make, it's also the sins that we commit. These things are flowing from the heart. Your anger, your discontentment, your idolatry, your lust, your pride, all of your rebellion against God flows from the heart. And then on the flip side, as a believer, all of your obedience and service to God also flows from the heart. In Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. That is speaking of the believer. Since we've been given new hearts in Christ, all of our love for God, service to God, worship of God, come from the heart. And because again, this is the point the text is making. Everything in your life has its source in your heart. For out of it spring the issues of life. Charles Bridges, the great 19th century pastor, summarizes it well when he speaks of the heart by saying, "It is the great vital spring of the soul, the fountain of actions, the center and the seat of both sin and holiness." Like the well on your property, the source of everything in your life is your heart. Right? Which means then, how you treat other people flows from the heart. How you respond to temptation and trials in life comes from the heart. How you go about your work, who you worship, all the choices you make, it comes from the heart. Or we could put it differently. Whether you live for God or live for the world, it goes back to the heart. Right? Whether you bring blessing to your life or make a disaster of your life, it comes back to the heart. Right? Because the heart is your innermost being. The heart is the source of your thoughts, your desires, your emotions, your affections, your words, your decisions, your beliefs, your actions. And so as such, every single thing in your life comes back to the heart. One commentary says that the heart is, quote, the workshop of our individual spiritual and ethical form of life. And that idea of a workshop is helpful. As I hear the word workshop, I immediately think of my grandfather in his workshop. And perhaps you have a workshop. What do you do in a workshop? Well, you repair things. But also a workshop, that's where things are made. And that's what happens in the heart. The things of your life are made, both good and bad, in that workshop of your heart. Another commentator uses a different illustration. He says the heart is the control center of your life. Right? It's where everything is decided. It's where everything is determined. Or to go back to the imagery of Proverbs 4, the heart is the spring from which all the water of your life flows. So regardless how you illustrate it, that's what we are to know. Scripture teaches us. The heart is the source of everything in our life. Thus, and this brings us to our second point on the outline, to follow Christ in his word, we have to keep our hearts. Again, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. This is the command of the text. Keep your heart. To keep is to guard. Some of your Bibles may say that. It's to watch over. It is to protect. You can think of all those who guard the White House in Washington, D.C. There are Secret Service agents. There are police officers. There are security personnel everywhere. Often even in places we can't see them, but they're at the front gates. They're up on the roof with their rifles. They're around the perimeter. They're at the doors. They're right inside the doors. They're in all different places of the building. Because the White House, and the President in particular, need to be kept safe from danger. Well, so does your heart, Proverbs says. Right? Even though you have a new heart as a believer, your heart is still vulnerable. It's in danger from outside forces seeking to infiltrate it. And it's in danger of inside forces seeking to produce evil from it. Now, Jesus says in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, that's speaking to you and me as believers in Christ. We may have abilities and desires for Christ. Our spirit may be willing, but what is he saying? He says we're also weak. Our physical bodies are weak, which impacts our service to God. But more importantly, our indwelling sin makes us weak. And as such, it can easily hinder our love for God and our obedience to God. That's why Jesus says, watch and pray. Keep up your guard, lest you fall into temptation. Or as Proverbs says, keep your heart. And because your heart is susceptible, even as a Christian, to the influence of the enemy from without and from within. John Gill puts it this way, I think very helpfully, speaking of the heart. He says, all the avenues to it are to be watched, that nothing hurtful enters or evil comes out. Right? That's a great way to think of it. To keep your heart, you must first watch what is coming into your heart. Right? That is, you need to look and see what is affecting my heart. What is influencing my heart? Right? What is impacting my thoughts, my beliefs, my desires, my choices, my words, my actions? And with that, we need to watch what is coming out of the heart. Right? What are the kinds of thoughts and beliefs and words and actions and choices that are flowing from it? Right? Because the heart, like the organ in our chest, both receives and disperses. Right? It takes in and it sends out. In fact, what we see is what comes out of your heart is affected by what first comes into your heart. And so to keep your heart, we must begin with self-examination. With self-examination. In order to keep your heart, you first need to know your heart and know what is influencing your heart. But that's not all that's entailed. Right? Because as you're watching, this is the self-examination part, as you're watching what's coming in and as you're watching what's going out, you then need to address the problems that you find. Right? What is unhealthy? What is harmful coming in or coming out? Right? Think again of a water well, if you have one. Right, to ensure that the water is safe for use and safe for drinking, most people who have a well will test the well. They might do that every year, they might do that every few years, but typically that will be done to evaluate the quality of the water. Because we understand, you don't want bad water coming into your home. You don't want unsafe water coming into your home. And so if the test reveals something is out of sort, you address that issue. Sometimes you need to treat the water to deal with problems that are in the water. At other times, you need to deal with what might be contaminating the water. So in the same way, we need to address the issues in the quality of our life's water. That's part of what it means to keep your heart. For one, you need to radically remove harmful influences. You need to radically remove harmful influences. Right? These would be the things, or the people even, that lead your heart astray and that corrupt what is coming out of your heart. Right? So the influences that incline you to doubt the promises of God, or to give in to temptation, or to speak unkindly to your children, or to live for the pleasures of the world. You name it. Right? It could be your use of social media. It could be the TV shows that you watch. It could be the websites you go to. It could be the media that you listen to and that you're reading. It could be the places that you visit. It could be the company that you keep. It could be the amount of sleep you get at night or the kinds of food that you eat. It may not always be something that's inherently bad, but if it's negatively influencing your heart, leading you to sin against the Lord, it has to be dealt with, Proverbs says. It needs to be avoided, needs to be stopped, and radically so if needed. Remember, what does Jesus say in Matthew 5:29? He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Right, we would never throw garbage into our well at home, would we? Right? We would never purposely put disease into our well. We understand that's absolute foolishness. How harmful that would be for us. And so we should never do the same with our hearts by allowing it to be harmfully influenced. And yet, to our shame, that's what we do all the time, including myself. We bring garbage into our life. We allow it to poison our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, stop it. It has to stop. Keep your heart. Radically remove the harmful influences. Find the garbage. Keep it out of your life so that it's not poisoning your heart. So we need to radically remove the harmful influences. Well, with that, if we're to keep our heart, we also need to confront and repent of the evil being produced by our hearts. Confront and repent of it. And that is to return to the well illustration. You don't just deal with what is contaminating the heart, though you must, but you also take action to treat the bad water coming out of the well. And the first step in that process is always to identify it as such. Right? That is, you've got to start by calling sin what it is. Sin is sin. And so we need to see your impatient attitude, your impure thoughts, your selfish deeds for what they are. They're acts of rebellion against your Maker and your Savior. And we need to treat them accordingly. Right, that's the first step in biblical confession, in repentance, and in receiving forgiveness. It starts with acknowledgement of our sin. And then it goes on from there to actively kill the sin. Or as our catechism puts it, it turns away from sin, quote, unto God, with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. This is how all sin is to be dealt with. We acknowledge it, we confess it, yes, but then we go on to strive by God's power to deal with it, to put it off, and to replace it with what is right and good. That should always be. If we're watching what's coming out of the heart, keeping it in that way, we always need to respond by confronting it and repenting of the bad. And to do so immediately. If you knew that you had bad water poisoning your family, you would not wait another day to deal with it. You would deal with it that day. And so we should never wait to treat the sin coming out of our hearts. If you're here this morning and you've not yet trusted in Christ, that is the most important thing for you to do. you need to acknowledge your sin, confess it to God, and ask for His forgiveness. If you've not done so, I encourage you to do that today. If you need help with that, talk to me. Talk to anyone else in this building. And the Bible assures you that if you are trusting that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, when you bring your sins to the Lord, He will wash them away. And He will forgive every single one of them. If evil is coming out of your heart, which it is pouring out of all of our hearts, whether you're an unbeliever or a believer, it needs to be dealt with. We need to look to Christ and repent. So to keep your heart, what do we need to do? We need to radically remove the harmful influences coming into our hearts. And we need to confront and repent of the evil that is being produced by our hearts. Right, so those are the things we need to look for in our lives. Those are the things we need to address in our lives. And the best way to do both of those things, or to help us to do both of those things, is to live in intimate closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. To live in intimate closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John Gill again is helpful. Speaking of the heart, he says, "It is to be kept by all manner of means that can be thought of, by prayer, hearing, reading, meditation, and above all, by applying to Christ for His grace and Spirit to sanctify, preserve, and keep it." And because here's the thing, while God uses our efforts to keep the heart, after all, He does command us to keep the heart, He's the one we need to keep the heart. And so as you examine your life, as you seek to address the issues in your life, you need to walk closely with Christ. He's your hope. As one author says, you need to, quote, live in the atmosphere of His Word. You need to humble yourself. Be frequent on your knees. You need to surround yourself with His disciples. You need to be planted in His church. You need to drink His cup and eat His bread. You need to receive His correction and be trained by Him. Because, again, He's the one you need to keep your heart. We sang about this in Psalm 121 earlier. We need Him to protect us from evil. We need Him to keep us and to lead us on the path of righteousness. And so the point here is, if you want to follow Christ, if you want to keep His word, if you want to live as a disciple of Christ, who's on His way to the promised land above, Proverbs says, keep your heart today. Gary Brady says, "The keeping and right managing of the heart is one great business of a Christian's life." Is that the great business of your life? Is that the great business of my life? It should be for all of us. Well, as we come to our third and final point on the outline, let us also see here that diligence is required in the process due to the challenges and importance. Verse 23 again says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." To be diligent is to be careful. It's to be persistent. If you're using the ESV this morning, it says to keep your heart with all vigilance, which speaks of being attentive and alert. Or if you're using the NIV this morning, it says keep your heart above all else, highlighting the precedence that it should have in our lives. I think all of that is included here in the idea. Now, your heart is not to be casually kept. Your heart is not to sometimes be kept. It's to be constantly kept with the greatest and highest priority. One author I heard paraphrased it this way: whatever you do, invest in guarding your heart. Whatever you do, invest in guarding your heart. At all times, this means you should guard your heart. Whether you're at home, at work, whether it's the morning or the evening, this is what you should be doing. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter if you have other responsibilities to fulfill. Even if you're on vacation, this is your duty, God says. Guard your heart. The same is true for all seasons of life. Right? Guard your heart when you're prospering and things are going well. Guard your heart when you're suffering and things are going poorly. Guard your heart when you're young, boys and girls. Guard your heart when you're old. Right? Because as Proverbs says, the heart is to be kept how? Diligently, vigilantly, and above all else. If you think about it, isn't that how we guard many things that are important to us in life? Right? If you have a home, you diligently keep it. Right? You insure it. You lock your doors. You may even pay for a security system. If you have money, you diligently keep it. Right? I guarantee it's not all in your front pocket this morning. Right? It's in the bank. It's locked away in a safe. It is somewhere protected. If you have children, you diligently keep them. Right? You watch over them. You do what is needed to shield them from harm. Right? Many things in life we diligently keep because that's what you naturally do with your greatest, most important treasures. And so it makes sense then, doesn't it? The Proverbs would say, keep your heart diligently, even more so than everything else. One author says, though other things are to be kept and care taken of them, like kingdoms and cities and towns and families and treasures and riches, yet the heart above all. The heart above all. And that's for two reasons. In particular, first, diligence is required in keeping the heart because of the challenges. Because of the challenges. We've touched on this a bit already, but it certainly bears further consideration. Your heart is under constant attack. Constant. And it's constantly being attacked from the outside in. Right? The enemies of Christ are constantly trying to infiltrate your heart. Do you realize that? That's why the world unceasingly is out to seduce you with its commercials and its pleasure and its power and you name it. And we're often caught up by it. This is why the devil walks about roaring like a roaring lion looking to devour you with its lies and temptations. Right? It all goes back to the fact that the forces of darkness want to get into your heart all of the time. They want to control what's going in your heart and corrupt your life. That's what the enemy is out to do. The enemy is diligent. So Proverbs says you've got to be diligent. You can't take a break. You can't get lazy. But you're not just under attack from the outside. You're also under attack from the inside. Right? Remember, your flesh has a constant proclivity towards sin, and so does mine. So much so that we often want our lives to be corrupted, do we not? Right? This is why we keep throwing garbage into the well of our hearts, as it were. It's because we naturally love the poison. Right? It makes us feel good. It distracts us from the painful realities of life. And that right there makes the task of keeping our hearts such a challenge, doesn't it? Right? We often don't want to keep our hearts. That should be a thing we confess to God today. In fact, if we're honest, we often want to sabotage our hearts. It's the result of sin that remains in us. That's why we so desperately need the saving, transforming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. John Flavel, the great Puritan who wrote a book on this one verse, says, "The greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God, and after conversion, to keep it with Him." And imagine, going back to the White House, imagine being one of the security forces at the White House. How difficult would it be if you're on duty, and yet to protect the president, you have an entire army right outside the building with all of its powerful weapons coming to get you. And at the same time, you have numerous traitors on the inside trying to do the same thing. How are you going to keep the president safe? Well, that's a challenge, I think, above all challenges. That's exactly our situation. Every single moment of every single day. That's why we're called. Be diligent, vigilant, keep the heart above all else. Given the challenges, you can't let down your guard for a moment. And then the second reason you're to diligently keep your heart is because of its importance. So there are challenges, but there's also a great importance here. John Gill says, great care should be taken of the heart, since so much depends upon it. And that's what we often forget, but think about it with me. The quality of your marriage depends upon it. Your success in the battle against sin today depends upon it. The joy and the peace that you experience, even on the darkest of days, depends upon it. The kind of relationship that you have with your kids depends upon it. How things go in your work depends upon it. And we can go on. Right? Since the heart is the source of everything in your life, I think it can safely be said that everything depends upon it. It's that important. Whether you serve the Lord or destroy your life depends upon it. In fact, whether you're received to heaven or condemned to hell depends upon it. Because what you do with your heart not only has daily ramifications, not only has interpersonal ramifications, it also has eternal ramifications. And that's nothing we should kid about. Keeping the heart is supremely important because everything depends upon it. And Gary Brady says, this is hard work, constant work, and important work. But God's glory, sincere faith, a beautiful life, real peace, improved graces, and stability in the face of temptation depend on it. Do you get the point? Do you see how significant this is for your life? It all comes back to the heart. So if you're to follow Christ, you're to follow His Word, the heart is to be diligently kept. And so we need to take up this work. We need to take it up for our own sake. I hope that's clear. We also need to take it up for the sake of others, because what comes from the heart not only flows into our life, it also flows into the lives of all those around us. We also need to take it up for the sake of Christ, our Savior. And thankfully, we can do that, not by our own strength, but by the strength of our Savior. Because here's the great thing about the gospel. Jesus Christ did not have indwelling sin that he struggled with, like you do and I do. But nonetheless, Jesus Christ always and perfectly kept his heart while he was here on earth. He kept his heart so that he would be morally pure in all of his thoughts and words and actions. He kept his heart so that he would always be faithful to the Father and do his will to the team. And he kept his heart so that he would effectively pay for your sins and redeem you from destruction. And therefore, as a believer, as one united to him, filled with his empowering spirit, you can diligently keep your heart and should. John Flavel says this, and we'll summarize and close with it. By keeping the heart, this is what you should understand. The diligent and constant use and improvement of all holy means and duties to preserve the soul from sin and maintain its sweet and free communion with God. That's what it's all about right there. Preserving the soul from sin and maintaining sweet communion with God. So hear what the Lord is saying to you this morning. Diligently keep your heart so that today and every day you will follow Christ and His Word. Let's pray and let's ask that He would give us the grace we need to do that. Lord, in many ways, this is a very convicting verse, at least it should be. So if there are any among us today who are not convicted by it, would you give us that conviction? Lord, so often we do not keep the heart, we poison the heart, and we actively do so because we love that corruption. Lord, forgive us of that, how perverse we are, how backwards we are. Change our hearts more and more and conform us more into the likeness of Christ. We pray that you would show us the harmful influences we have in our lives today that are coming into our hearts and affecting it. Lord, help us to radically remove them. Show us as well the evil that's coming out of our hearts. Cause us to confront and repent of that more and more. Lord Jesus, thank you that you kept your heart perfectly. And so we pray, give us that strength of yours that we would keep our hearts more and more, starting even this afternoon. Give us grace, and please help us to apply this portion of your word in our lives this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.